This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, here we are, fully leaded education talk, Busted Pencils. Johnny Lupinacci here with you all. Dr. Tim Slecker is on his way back from his cross-country educational adventure with his daughter. Lots of good stories coming your way, listener, from Tim when he gets back. But tonight is Wednesday. I'm excited. It's one of my favorite days of the week already because we're halfway through the week. It's almost the end of May. This is crazy time in school. Energy is on all high. Like, we are ready for summer, teachers and students. We have our two favorite educators with us tonight from Educator Amplified, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna. How you doing?
I'm good. Today was my last day of school. So school is out for summer for Teacher Joanna.
Ooh-wee. I'm doing good too. I always love coming here, you know, like I always say, I feel like actually this weekend I saw someone at like a Memorial Day thing and they're like, oh my God, I just learned that you're on the radio. And I was explaining it and I was like, we are an educational jam band.
Oh, so, yeah.
That's what we're doing.
I love that educational jam band. I mean, the pitches and the slogans are just firing on all cylinders this week, which is why I'm so excited. I mean, I'm always excited for Educators Amplified, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna. Teacher Joanna, congratulations. It's always a beautiful feeling when we go into summer. It's the off season. The work really doesn't stop, but we breathe and we get to regulate in different ways when we're in the off season. So congratulations for making it another year, another academic year under your belt. But one of the conversations that we've been having, and Jess, you can chime in too, because Anya and Jess have really been kind of carrying the show. It's been really great comments and folks who have called, the texts I get about the show, the people who listen to the podcast. We love it out there. If you want to give us a call, 855-752-4842. You're welcome to join us today. But we've been talking about, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, we've been talking about feelings. Yeah. We'll figure. And we've been talking about mostly in response to like, hey, it's so important. And we've been saying like, you know, facts and feelings. And then we got on this whole thing Friday about, you know, the indignant message we're constantly seeing on bumper stickers or flags that say F your feelings. And Jess and Anya really took that and ran with it. And they were like, well, I wish it was feel your feelings, find your feelings. And they came back yesterday and they were like, we got one for you, Johnny. F with your feelings. You know, like young people say, I F with that. And we were having a good laugh about that. But seriously, we are talking about how often on Busted Pencils, we're like, we're analyzing what is going on, but not always, you know, investing our energy in what ought to be or what can be or what's different. And I thought, oh my God, it's perfect. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna coming on taught me so much about what they call four domains of learning that meet the developmental needs of children. It's like kind of like facts and feels broken into this really nice graphic they shared with me that taught me about those things. So I thought about how lucky our listener would be to have you both on tonight and continue that conversation that Jess and I and Anya have been having about, you know, that's with your feels, like facts and feelings. Like, go figure, can we really have a better learning place if we learn how to, you know, have our feels but also apply facts? And I thought, so Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, what are you thinking about with our whole pitch about F with feelings?
Well, there's a lot of different places to start, but I will say this is something that Hallie and I are just really solid in terms of, and this is why we appreciate the opportunity even to be on your show once a week, because even outside of the show, Hallie and I often talk about, we're really solid in what the education process is and what learning is. And when we're talking about the actual science or, you know, when we talk about the learning process, emotion is involved, feelings are involved, and so they can't be separated. And our frustration, though, with the traditional system was that it's treated as though they're separate. Like there's learning over here, and then there's your feelings over here, and get your feelings in line so you can learn. Mm-hmm. And our experience and journey together was integrating the two. That's why we would use the phrase that we focused on the integration of well-being and learning, because they can't be separated. So there's kind of that part, right, Hallie, where we're just like, mm-hmm. you can't take it out. However, the system is structured to have it out though. Mm-hmm. And they definitely are like, hey, Johnny, get your stuff together over there and then come back and learn. And we had, we developed a system and a program that really acknowledged and taught what was happening in your body. So there's that. There's just one, it's something we're really clear about, you know, and mm-hmm. that's what we love to talk about rather than power and politics and the things that many of us believe are what education's about or have been led to believe. We're clear on like the actual process of learning and connection. You couldn't separate the two out. So it's integral to what we do in school and in our profession as educators.
Yeah, I would add to, you know, I think about this concept of like the language that we use within schools. You know, I think people can hear feelings and be like, oh, here we go. The liberals want to talk about their feelings or whatever. You know what I mean? And I think something that Joanna and I are really solid on, and that when you talk to Johnny about being like, right, understanding this four domains, is that like, this isn't just some like little thing, you know, like off over there that we want to talk about that's taboo. We really are talking about like the science of stress is more of what we're talking about, of like, how does stress influence how we learn? How does stress influence, or how is stress affected in particular environments, and how can we look at that? You know, even down to, I remember talking with students being like, in our system, right, some feelings that people would talk about would be like, oh, they have anxiety and depression. Now, I can't deal with that, you know, or like people would get really nervous because those are big words. And so how do we possibly handle it? Versus being like, guess what? Everyone has experienced the feeling of being anxious and feeling depressed. So how do we kind of normalize some of this so it doesn't have to be so, I keep saying the word taboo, that we're just like, that's the human experience. We're all humans. We're all here together 7 hours a day, 5 days a week. So let's acknowledge it.
It was actually harder to separate the two than to integrate. When I lived my life before I really knew about how the brain works and, you know, how stress impacts learning, you know, I thought they were separate. And that is actually much more difficult than just integrating it, because then you just have a flow. When you realize that aggression is really a fight response, a fight stress response, you know, and when you realize that someone taking off and running or hiding is a flight response, a flight stress response, and that being disengaged is a freeze stress response, that's different than just being like, Hallie wants to fight and Johnny's lazy.
Yeah, they're disrespectful to staff. You know, like you just don't take it personal anymore. So it's like, so it's interesting because you're like, let's feel our feelings. And yet I, as an educator, I wasn't all up in my feelings when I looked at it as the science of stress. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like I didn't, you know, like you could like kind of give a degree of separation to be able to be there as an adult who's regulated versus an adult who's dysregulated. And so, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I don't know. What do you think about when we say all this, Johnny? We're like, bah!
We're like, we know what we are solid on this, but we're like, do you understand what we're talking about?
Well, we've been talking about it. I'm going to kick it to Jess. Jess, you want to chime in a little bit? How does what Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna are sharing kind of resonate with the talk we've been having?
I'd love to. So on a couple counts, you're absolutely right that our feelings are an integral part of who we are. And especially mm-hmm. when we're talking about those feelings like stress and anxiety and depression, those are affecting us more than just, you know, what we're conscious of, that we're feeling those big feelings. Those are having really deep effects on our bodies. So not to get too far into this, but my other interest is neurology. And we know that, you know, the science of this is telling us our feelings are us. There mm-hmm. is no separating our feelings from us. And when we learn to actually dig into our feelings, dig into our stressors, dig into what's making us uncomfortable, that gives us a lot of power to then change mm-hmm. our situation and make ourselves better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it couldn't be said better. And we have the, you know, the right folks here having this conversation. That's what it's all about. Busted Pencils, if you'd like to call in and join the conversation, 855-752-4842. Hello, Sherry. We got a message from Sherry saying hello this evening. Great to have you out there listening. I'm just thinking, like, in response to what you were saying is yes, because I will share, like, we've been talking about this, but then also this weekend, you know, I get called to sometimes respond on legislation or reports that come out, and, you know, and I couldn't agree more. I love hearing us in everyday language say we can't separate out reason and emotion. Those two things are woven together. And as a culture, especially in schools, we've created that separation. Like, you either have to be all rational and reasoning or in emotions, and it's bad to be in emotions. Mm-hmm. So spend all of your energy and time. And that's an impossibility. It also sets us all up to fail, right? Because if we do function really well, ignoring our emotional side, it's there. We're just ignoring it. We're dysregulated more often, and we have no capacity. We never learn to self-regulate or to co-regulate with others. We just end up tantruming all over the place, which is why we have so many mantras on our hand right now, all over. So, you know, I'm excited we're having this conversation. We're going to come back because I got called on to respond to why I thought there was an increase in weapon-related incidents in our schools across the country. And I bet you're not shocked on my response, but I'm thinking a lot about what y'all are talking about here about fight, flight, or freeze, mm-hmm. and behavior as a form of communication. Busted Pencils, we're here with Educators Amplified. Jess is on the board with us tonight. Give us a call or join us. Keep the conversation going when we get back. And we are back, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, Wednesday, special day, Educators Amplified in the house. Got to hang out with both Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie in person a couple weeks back. Guess where? At the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out minocquabrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And you can buy more than just progressive beer. You can hang out with good people, get a soda, you can have a glass of wine, you can just kick it and talk about good politics. Or like Jess was contributing yesterday, what did you call that? What you said, conversation for the sake of heaven, which was like, we can disagree and still respect one another.
So it's a Jewish tenet called machloket b'shem shamayim, which literally means argument for the sake of heaven. Literally means in the name of heaven, but it's for the sake of heaven. It's this idea that you can argue with someone very, very deeply and still respect them and still have this healthy basis for how to disagree and how everyone can come out of that better than they came in.
I think my Italian family somehow inherited some of that tradition in terms of, man, we all always beef and argue with each other. We got each other's back. We love each other at the end of the day. And we kind of land on similar common grounds. It's sort of like little micro democracies. I love that. But here we are now. We are chopping it up, and I was sharing this story. So I talked to a reporter last week, Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie, great journalist doing good work on legislation, and a report came out in my state of Washington, and a few of these popped up around the country, and we're all too familiar with like AYP and like reports that get, you know, kicked up the level from our schools. But one of the things that came out is there was an increase in incidents related to bringing a weapon to school. And it was like, okay, let's kind of, okay, here we go. Like we already know it's far too easy to have access to a firearm in this country. We got into the big kind of cultural discussion around that. But what I kind of came back to was like, I'm not shocked by this number, by this increase, although it's sad. I don't think we should just accept it or normalize it, but all behavior is a form of communication was the kind of conversation that the journalist and I had. And and she said, you know, can you tell me more about that? What do you mean? And we really got into like the nuances of why might, like what are children in our community feeling or experiencing to the point where they feel, and we looked at the numbers, the majority of children in this country feel unsafe at school. And I wonder if they feel unsafe in general. That's kind of a big blanket, but I'm just thinking about, we can't speak for children, but here we have Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, Jess and Anya, and I have been chopping this up and thinking like all behavior is a form of communication. We have these numbers, okay? Numbers always kind of illuminate certain things and hide other things, but they're telling us that more incidents than the past few years related to bringing a firearm to school or having a violent related incident associated with a weapon. When I put little quotes up around it, because we know it can be broken down. We've all been there. We're like, we'll keep using Johnny. We'll say little Johnny brought a knife to school. And I think Anya shared a story about how someone forgot they had it in their jacket or they wanted to bring it because, you know, it meant a lot to them. And, you know, we've all been there where there's like expulsions or suspensions or zero tolerance policies. But just thinking back to this, two educators I look up to, we've all been there. What are your thoughts on this increased number and this idea of behavior as a form of communication? Like what are kids telling us?
Well, do you want to start?
Nope, go for it.
I have a quick thought, and that is just that, you know, logic cannot shut down emotion, but emotion can shut down logic. And so, and that's how our brain works, right, Hallie? That's our flip our lid. It's how literally how the brain works and connect and disconnect those pieces. So that was the first thing I thought about, was that, like I said, logic cannot shut down emotion, but emotion can shut down logic. And so when students are feeling unsafe, you know, right, they're not thinking logically or rationally, and then definitely adolescents, just the way their brains are developed at that point, aren't thinking long term either. It's very immediate. So there's that. And then I also just think about the chronic toxic stress that we are all in. So the kids carry their own, and much of it is from the adults around them. Where was I just the other day? Oh, my daughter's graduation party was this weekend. And, you know, like what, just a person was talking and they were like, you know, the whole like, thank God my kids don't have to deal with this because this world is blah, 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 blah. And but there's kids around hearing this. And I'm like, they really do hear this message of like, things are really bad. And I feel bad for you guys. Like they hear that. Those are just off the cuff thoughts, but I could probably get deeper into why they're feeling this way in school. But I'm curious what Hallie would add, either on her own and or responding to what I say.
Well, similar to what you were saying, my thoughts were floating around as Johnny was talking about. I mean, you know, when you're working with students and some things will just stick out to you, or you know how like your memory will just remember things. And I'll never forget during the shutdown of the times of COVID when it, you know, a student, and I may have already shared this, but it was just, you know, she's like, I don't know why, or like, you know, she was a senior too. So she's like, what am I, why graduate? What are we doing here? And like listing off like seven really large traumas, you know, right? With like COVID and Black Lives Matter movement was going on and global warming and climate change is what I mean, you know? So like, and on and on and on and on. And it's just like, that was in 2020, you know? So now we're in 2024. And in my scope of watching that world of education, I haven't seen really or heard of any educational systems that have responded to those things. Mm-hmm. It is just a reaction. And so, right, students, then I view it as like it just builds and builds and builds. And kind of with what Joanna was saying, whether, you know, this girl I was talking to is a senior or, you know, during COVID, these students were in eighth grade. So, right, they've had four, whatever. I don't care how old a child is. They can feel that impact. You know, they can feel those vibes and those emotions, whether they comprehend the negativity or whether they comprehend the toxicity or not, it's there. And so, yeah, I just really think about how I'm like, why aren't people talking about the neuroscience when we have these conversations, you know? Or I just, so like, okay, great. There's another data point, you know, about weapons or about dangerous things have, you know, like children either having access to or bringing or showing. And I'm like, and we're just like, why, you know, but why aren't we like, yep. Why are we never like, let's pause and look at what is modern science that's at our fingertips that could really help us right now.
I love that, Teacher Hallie. So let's pause. So yep. Listener out there, stay with us. We're going to be diving more into that. I love what Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie are sharing here. We're going to pause and we'll be back with you after the break. Back from the break, and I think Jess is queuing up Breaking Benjamin for us tonight, throwing us a little change up in the music. Oh, this is Linkin Park. A little out of my, again, remember, a little out of my, I talked about a generational gap in my music. So, you know, thanks for the shift and the change. Love it. We are back from the break, though, and if you'd like to give us a call, 855-752-4842, here with Educators Amplified. Mind blown. Of course, it makes sense. You know, like Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna have saying, Educators Amplified have been about this. It's not just a little thing over there. You know, they've been really working closely with the neuroscience, with the learning theory, with the science of what's going on to help us better educate kids and kids to learn, and recognizing the whole development, the whole child. Mm-hmm. In that, and the diversity of ways in which children's needs are met together in a learning community or a classroom. And again, how hard that is often to do in schools, because schools just seem so resistant to actually, mm-hmm. you know, cultivating or supporting spaces where teachers can both learn about that and practice it. And boom, mind blown. You know, we have those moments where it all just comes into focus. When Teacher Joanna was sharing that statement about logic and emotion, and you talked about, I think you said like flip your lid, and you had flip like a language, yeah, you had a language. Can we go back to that statement? Because, oh, mind blown, that logic and emotion. Can you share that again?
Yeah, I was going to say that was one of my favorite things to talk about with students. So I'll do my little spiel because I love it so much. So right. Basically, like, some of you can see me, but I'm going to do my, I know that I'm on the radio. So let's see how good I can explain this. You know, something that Joanna and I always loved was neuroscience is like big, hard, intricate, layered things. And so we really tried to be like, how can we make it, you know, tangible, accessible to students? and even adults that we were working with. And so one thing that we would talk about is the concept of flipping your lid. And so if you make a fist with your thumb inside your four fingers, that's essentially like your brain. And so if you're looking at like the front part of your knuckle, like the finger part, like the pad in front, not where a ring would go, but right below it, that would be like your prefrontal cortex part of your brain, which is like right behind your forehead. So if I, you know, could peel back my forehead, you'd see my prefrontal cortex. And then your little thumb that's tucked inside, that's like your amygdala. So the prefrontal cortex is where you have, that's where your logic is. That's your reasoning. That's like the part of your brain that's like, I think I'm going to do this. And then thinks like, is this a good idea or is this a bad idea? You know, like that consequential thinking. Fun fact, it doesn't fully develop as far as I know until you're 28. So the fact that kids are doing impulsive things is like, so like, duh. So like, right, bringing more weapons to school, you're like, yeah, their prefrontal cortex isn't there to help them or fully there. But then, and then that amygdala, so your thumb, is like just that reptilian brain, that like fight, flight, or freeze, just pure emotion. And so when you're in situations, and so how we would talk about it is when we wanted students to feel regulated, it's like your brain is that fist where your prefrontal cortex is connected to that amygdala, and you're making decisions together with your emotions from the amygdala and from your logic from your developing prefrontal cortex, and that's how you strengthen it. Well, when overwhelming amounts of stress, which depends on the student or depends on the person's experience, you literally flip your lid. So it's almost like if you just flung your fingers, four fingers up, and it's almost like you're showing the number four, but you still see your amygdala. That's your logic leaving and your amygdala, your emotion taking over. And so that's what we would talk about. Like that's that fight, flight, or freeze. That's when those feelings feel, you know, I have a 7-year-old at home. So that's when I talk about that's your big emotions. And like, that's when it's just overwhelming and it's a lot. And then we would talk about how oftentimes you hear about mindfulness and breathing and how important that is. And people are like, la-di-da, like whatever. But scientifically, like literally biologically, the only way for your amygdala and that prefrontal cortex to connect back together is through oxygen. And right, how do we get oxygen? We get it through breathing. So that's why we do the deep breathing and teach those things in schools when we can, because literally that is just brain science. And so to me, when kids, you know, when we would be sitting and we would be talking about these concepts, I mean, right, it just clicks. Like mm-hmm. kids are like, yeah, okay. You know, and it isn't like, you know, like, so now let's practice the 4-part breath square breathing or whatever it's called. You know, it's more they're like, okay, now I know this background information. And in those moments, if I can find a way to breathe, I'll breathe. You know, like, and it wasn't just like, because someone taught me the 4-part square breath, or I'm totally butchering it, but you get it. Mm-hmm. Students had that power, that onus, that like, just that knowledge that really allows them to be like, okay, and that's my brain. That's everyone's brain. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that there's mini lesson from Teacher Hallie about.
Well done, Teacher Hallie. Right. And listen, if you're out there and you want to join, 855-752-4842. Wow. Again, the phrase, the knowledge, the wisdom that Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie are sharing tonight, and they're teaching on fire. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yes. You put in the, well, we got Jim from Appleton, text, zero tolerance rules are intolerable. Our first offense is when teaching begins. Jim, I couldn't mm-hmm. agree with you more. In that mm-hmm. conversation, so to loop back in the conversation with the reporter, we were talking about incidents and we were looking at the numbers of how many incidents were also dealt with. And we got into the discussion mm-hmm. of like dealt with, you know, meant mm-hmm. responded in the form of expulsion or suspension or consequence. And mm-hmm. again, I was saying all forms of all behavior is a form of communication. Mm-hmm. So I applaud schools that respond are empathetic and firm. And zero tolerance rules, I think, like, I agree with you, Jim from Appleton. Zero tolerance, like, if we're punishing kids for making mistakes without working on that teaching part, or where that, like, first offense is where the teaching begins, where we learn why, the why and the what, and we help get to that. Like Teacher Hallie was saying, they're supposed to be kids. I'm terrible with the neuroscience. So I'm going to say the front part of my fist, right? That isn't developed until 28 years old, right? So again, reality check for our schools. We need to have it. It's not anything goes. You can't bring a weapon to school.
No.
But we got to understand why. And I applaud when we do, we do consequences that are not punitive, but they're disciplinary. Mm-hmm. And by disciplinary, I don't mean ruin a kid's life, punish them, harm them, make them cruel. Find out why, and let's learn together. Teacher Joanna, hop in there.
Well, that's where we haven't caught up. And that's where when I started, I said, Hallie and I were really clear on this, and we designed systems around this. Because, right, when kids don't know how to read, we teach them how to read. When kids don't know math, we teach them how to do math. When kids don't, quote unquote, behave, we punish and exclude. So just here, right there, but that's how the system's designed. And so there are a lot of people like myself and Hallie and others who are working on that. How is it teaching side, you know, and how is it just part of things and not, again, viewed as separate, because it's not separate from yourself. It's connected. But can you hear in how I explain that? Like school, like I said, we think these are the things we teach. And they're really subject concrete oriented. And then the things that we assume are actually the very complex, integrated, internal aspects of ourselves. And so, right, when it gets to safety in school, yes, there are like these hard external things. But really, my experience with students, and I'm closing out my 28th year here, is that safety in school, when kids don't feel safe in school, it's psychological safety. And they're operating from their stress response. Things that they would share with us, or that would come up in, you know, some of the surveys and things, were reasons that kids didn't feel safe in school were things like just generally feeling that uncomfortable awkwardness you feel as an adolescent, bullying and harassment, not feeling accepted, feeling misunderstood. Do you hear, like, those were all even feelings? Right? Yeah. Where it was like, I don't feel liked. I don't feel accepted. I don't feel comfortable. I experience, you know, maybe bullying, harassment. I experience racism. Who knows? But that was largely, you know, where kids were coming from and how they would describe their feelings of not feeling that safe. And so on one hand, I'm like, okay, sad. On the other, I'm like, oh, but this is doable. Like, yeah. Hello, we're regulated, educated adults. We can, professionals in teaching, we can help with this.
Mm-hmm. I know. It just makes me think, like you saying that just makes me think about how so much of our system is set up on like an adult brain, you know, or like not literally the adult, but like a fully developed brain, maybe is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
As opposed to really just recognizing literally brain developmentally where children are at. Cause that even made me think about how we would tell students how from 0 to 3 years old, how much you can literally see physically, how much a human grows and changes, you know, from that 0 to 3. And people talk about the quote unquote terrible twos, but really it's just like their brain, their body is growing so rapidly that like, it's just like trying to catch up. But the same kind of rapid growth happens in teens too. But yet it's more, I mean, there is the puberty and you can see that, but it's a little bit slower, but or like you don't see it as quickly from 0 to 3, but so much is happening in their brains. And yet in schools, we're like, all right, so we'll like jump into this, but it will just be on the academics. Like, we'll like go with them with the brain growth, but just in math and reading, not on like, right? Like acknowledging that like a huge part of being an adolescent is feeling left out, is feeling misunderstood, is feeling awkward, you know, but like.
It's your social development.
Yes. But yet we're just like, well, we got to prepare you for when you're an adult. you know?
Like, we got to treat you like you're one already. And that's how you're going to learn it. Because we're going to punish you as though you were fully developed in all four. You talk about the four domains of learning. Like, we're just going to hold you accountable for, even though you're a child and the science is telling us you're not developed in these ways yet, and we're supposed to teach you and help you develop, we're going to hold you accountable as though you were plus 28 plus years old and fully supported in physical, intellectual, social, and emotional needs. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing that comes up, and it's come up a little bit like tangent to our discussion, and we've brought it up a few times, and I know that both you, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, refer to this. So I'm hoping it's going to probably take us up to the break. And then when we come back, we could talk a little bit more about it. But this thing, emotional intelligence.
Mm.
Like, since we've been talking about feels and all this stuff, I can tell. So I know, like, I think people have referred to it before. It's EQ or emotional.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, I would love for us to just have a little mini lesson as we're effing with our feels and talking about feels and facts and feelings. And, you know, you gave us a powerful lesson on logic and emotion. And, you know, flip your lid. And I love that. Leave us tonight. We'll come back and we'll be talking about EQ, emotional intelligence, with two expert educators who talk about that all the time. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, if you want to call in and join us, 855-752-4842, Busted Pencils, when we come back. Oh, yeah, we are back, and the time is flying by. Busted Pencils, fully led education talk with Educators Amplified with us on Wednesday. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, dropping that wisdom as we talk about feelings and everything. And I took us into the break talking about emotional intelligence and EQ. And we've brought it up a couple times in the last few shows. So I thought, hey, we got our experts in-house. Talk to us a little bit about this thing, emotional intelligence. Say what?
Well, I was going to start. You know what, Hallie? I was like, we can do this how we do this. I'll tee up the big concept and you bring some details, babe. What I was thinking when Johnny was talking about, like, emotional intelligence, I just thought of the bigger idea that, right, we are socialized to believe that there are good emotions and bad emotions. That's a huge thing that we're, right? Like, don't cry, stop being mad, you know? So we are socialized to believe that there are good emotions and bad emotions. However, when you get into understanding or learning about emotional literacy and all this, you just understand that we have emotions and they just are what they are. And that all emotions serve us. They serve us in some way. They serve a purpose or they wouldn't be here. And that everyone's feelings are legitimate. So that's a different premise, right? Than just there's good ways to feel and bad ways to feel. So we're in the land of, like, there's just feelings. And when you can kind of understand what they are and how they're serving you and how they work, it's pretty helpful. And when you can look at other people and acknowledge that I'm not in their brain, but whatever they're feeling because they're a human, I can view as legitimate. Then again, you're not getting I don't know, offended, hurt, harmed. I don't know. Anyway, that's my tee up, Hallie, of the big picture. Then you often get into the details about shades mm-hmm. of emotions or the flower yeah. or things like that.
Well, I just always felt it was important to, like, let's literally talk about, like, we all can feel them, but do we ever just, meaning like feel our emotions, but do we ever just like talk about them and understand them? And as I was doing some research, or even students would do research on emotions, and you find out that like humans can experience something around like 34,000 emotions. You're like, what? You know, like it can be like, that's pretty overwhelming. And so we would really talk about, so I call it the emotional flower, which doesn't give, you know, the
proper
respect.
Credit to whoever, right.
It's like
research this
or something. I know I sound very official right now, but it's this Robert Plutchnik. If you just Google emotional flower and try to spell Plutchnik, you'll see this like really beautiful rainbow flower that, you know, just talks about like these layers of emotions, and the more intense they are, they're in the middle, the less intense they are, they're more outward of the petals is what I say. And so it would just be interesting to just talk about it with students. And I think you could even do this with elementary age students. You know, like we would talk about like anger is a really popular emotion. More intense anger is rage, right? So then we can all think of times of that. Less intense anger is annoyance. You know, and you just start processing like, oh yeah, that does make sense. Like if after annoyance, I start getting mad, you know? And so when I start feeling annoyed, can I check in with myself to not let it increase, you know, is how we would talk. And then, right, humans are so cool because then two emotions together can make another one. So my favorite thing to talk about with teenagers, you know, because they're in relationships and whatever, is, you know, trust and love, or trust and joy together makes love. And I'd be like, so all of you who say you can't trust Boo Boo, you are not in love with him. You know, that's how we would talk, you know, just like, and you know, being able, we had those relationships, but just right. Being able to just play with that, I guess, you know, with kids, you can play with Play-Doh, with teenagers, you can play with the concept of like, let's really think about these emotions. And, you know, we all experience them. We all have some kind of touch point to them. But how can we just talk about it in a way that doesn't make people feel like, oh, I feel sad? Well, everybody feels sad, you know? And so, yeah, look it up though. It's really good stuff. And I'm like, I think all students, all people would really benefit from just having this basic understanding of our 34,000 emotions, but that image shows around like 32 or something. And you're like, okay, yeah, I've got lots of emotions. And so, yeah, that's how we would talk about it. And then students would really run with it and they would learn more. They would teach other people. And yeah.
When they were confused, they'd ask to see the flower. They'd be like, let me see it. I want to be able to, pick. I want to be able to look.
Wow, this is cool. This is like real-time conversation, and it reminds of the movie Inside Out. You've seen that movie?
Yeah.
Inside Out. It was coming this summer. I mean, to be honest, I was probably way after that 28-year-old fully developed.
Oh, right.
I was probably really slow on that too. But emotional intelligence, EQ, I was really late too. And that's a free pass that I get for my identity and a privilege that I have, which is actually not really a helpful thing. But I think men in general get this pass where we're taught not to deal with our emotions. We're taught not to F with our feels, but it's so important. And wow, like that movie Inside Out, I'm like admitting way too late in life that I began developing my a better understanding of EQ, but my kids were like, oh yeah, this makes sense. And then I was like, oh, no, it doesn't, but wait, maybe it does. And so like the logic and emotion stuff started to balance out. Hey, this has been an amazing conversation. I am so stoked to get to have Educators Amplified on here every Wednesday. Listener, check us out. You know what else you can do is you could check out Good Conversation with other educators or people who aren't even educators but care a whole lot about education at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system. that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out minocquabrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Wow, tonight, mind blown. I can tell my EQ, my emotional intelligence has grown. Learnings from Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie here tonight. Listener, I hope you've had that same kind of experience. Thank you, Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie. Thank you, Jess. What a show. Awesome week. Let's go. Joanna.